You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony,
over the last week, the leaders of Chechnya, a member state of the Russian Federation, have had this to say about gay men. There aren't any gay men in Chechnya. If such people existed in Chechnya, law enforcement would not have to worry about them, a spokesperson for the leader of Chechnya said, because their own relatives would have sent them to where they could never return. Another spokesperson for the Chechnyan government told the New York Times that gay men are like insects. I never saw them with my own eyes, and I never heard of them. I never thought of them. In my 50 years, I have never seen a gay man. I see flies, I see mosquitoes, but I have never seen a gay man. And the leader of Chechnya, Ramzan A. Kadyrov, has pledged to rid the region of gay men by Ramadan, which is coming up in May. Odd that you would pledge to rid the region of something that doesn't exist in the region, because other spokespersons for Chechnya's leader are saying there are no gay men in Chechnya. There are insects, other kinds of insects, but none of those insects known as gay men. So weird that he would pledge to cleanse Chechnya of the gay men who already don't exist in Chechnya because their families have already killed them. These statements were all made after reports emerged from Chechnya of gay men being rounded up, put in a concentration camp in Grozny, beaten, tortured, murdered, forced to reveal the names of other gay men. And the gay men who aren't being murdered in this concentration camp are then released, beaten and bruised and broken, to their families, who are expected, and often do, finish them off. Honor killings. And now gay men are fleeing Chechnya for other parts of the Russian Federation, which isn't itself a wonderful place to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, or trans. There has been an anti-gay pogrom underway, a soft pogrom in comparison to the pogrom going on right now in Chechnya, but an anti-gay pogrom underway in Russia led by Vladimir Putin since 2013, when the Russian Federation passed a law making quote-unquote gay propaganda illegal, propagandizing that there's anything normal about homosexuality to minors. This has effectively made it illegal to be openly gay in Russia, to speak of yourself as a gay person in Russia, to have any representation in the media, to argue for your rights, to press for LGBT civil rights or protections in Russia, because you can't talk to a newspaper or on television or in front of your family about being gay without potentially minors overhearing you. And the law defines gay propaganda as anything a minor might overhear. So it is illegal right now in Russia to be out. And gay men are fleeing Chechnya, where it is legal to be alive and gay, for Russia. That law that passed in 2013, banning, quote, propaganda of non-traditional sexual relationships, led to a wave of attacks on gay men, lesbians, bisexuals, trans people. Roving gangs posted ads on gay hookup apps, lured usually young gay men, teenagers, to fields or apartments for hookups, where then they were tortured and abused. The abuse was filmed, posted to social media accounts. Videos were posted of trans women being beaten in the streets of Moscow. One of the leaders of these attacks had an Instagram account where he was posting pictures of himself and his compatriots with the young gay men that they were torturing. People are asking what can be done about this shit going down in Chechnya, what we can do about what's going down in Chechnya. And there are really three things we can do. The first thing we can do is bear in mind that this backlash in places like Russia against gay people and Nigeria and Uganda and Chechnya is driven in part by the successes of the LGBT civil rights movement in the West. It is a way for a shitty country, an authoritarian country, a country with falling standards of living, a country that can't provide for its own people, a country that murders journalists, a country where freedom of speech has been restricted, like Russia, to assert its moral superiority over the West by saying, hey, whatever else is wrong here, at least we're not letting those faggots get married. Whatever else is wrong here, we're the morally upstanding ones. We sit on the moral high ground because we are rounding up and killing in Chechnya, or just abusing and terrorizing here in the rest of the Russian Federation those awful queers that you see walking around in the West, in New York City, in San Francisco, in Chicago, in Paris, in London, and Vienna, holding hands. Here, they can't do that. So we're the better place. So we in the West need to bear that in mind, that as we have these successes, as the LGBT civil rights movement has these successes, the backlash comes not just here, but there as well, which creates for us a moral responsibility to help. To help the queers in places like Uganda, in places like Nigeria and Russia and Chechnya, who are suffering in part because of our success in the West. What else can we do? We can protest. There were large protests at embassies and consulates, Russian embassies and consulates around the world, in Western capitals, in Seattle even, in response to the 2013 anti-gay propaganda law and the abuses and the violence that it kicked off. And those protests didn't succeed in getting the law repealed. It did get the Russian government to clamp down on the roving gangs that were terrorizing gay people. Hasn't stopped entirely, but there is less of it. And other laws that were proposed, other anti-gay laws, stalled because of the protests. So what can we do? We can protest. We can remember that we have a moral responsibility to come to the defense of queers in these other countries who are being abused in part because of our successes in the West, and we can protest. There have been protests at the Russian consulate in New York City. There are Russian consulates in San Francisco, Seattle, Houston, and embassy in Washington, D.C. There needs to be protests at those places too. And finally, if you're not the protest type, and I'm glad to say that more and more people out there every day are becoming the protest type. But if you're not the protesting type, if you're not going to take to the streets, you can make a donation to the Russian LGBT Network at lgbtnet.org/EN. That's for the English version of the site, lgbtnet.org/EN. This is an organization that is working, that's created a kind of underground railroad to spirit gay men out of Grozny, out of Chechnya, and to other parts of the Russian Federation where they are safer, safe being relative, than they are in Chechnya. So those are the three things you can do. And finally, there are assholes on the internet. I'm sure I don't have to tell you that. I'm sure we all know now that there are assholes on the internet, just like there are assholes everywhere, but they are really toxic and concentrated on the internet. And there are a lot of assholes on the internet pointing to what's going on in Chechnya, that small handful of gays for Trump, and arguing that this is proof that gay people should embrace Donald Trump, that gay people should recognize that Donald Trump, who is confronting radical Islam, is on our side, and Vladimir Putin too, that we should embrace these strong Christian leaders who are going to defeat radical Islam. When you see an asshole on the internet making that argument, tell them, remind them, point out to them that the leader of Chechnya, the guy who has pledged to rid Chechnya of the gay men who are not in Chechnya to begin with by Ramadan, serves at the sufferance of Vladimir Putin. He is a puppet in Chechnya of Vladimir Putin's. Vladimir Putin is the dictator of the Russian Federation. The leader of Chechnya, appointed by Vladimir Putin, does nothing without Vladimir Putin's approval. So the pogrom, the murderous, homicidal, anti-gay pogrom underway right now in Chechnya, the man ultimately responsible for that is not a Muslim. The man ultimately responsible for that is nominally, claims to be, a Christian, Vladimir Putin. So throw that in the faces of any assholes on the internet who make this specious bullshit argument. Reading the reports out of Chechnya, it's horrifying. But there are things we can do about it here. All right, coming up on today's show, tons of your questions, lots of my answers, your Q, my A. And on the Magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast, Ben Steele from cuckoldingrelationships.com is here to talk about cuckolding. All coming up. This episode of the Lovecast is brought to you by NatureBox. Delicious, healthy, tasty snacks delivered right to your door. Get 50% off, 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/savage. Thanks to audible.com for supporting the Savage Lovecast. For a free 30-day trial and to support the Savage Lovecast yourself, go to audible.com/savage. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron delivers all fresh, high-quality ingredients and recipes you need to create delicious home-cooked meals. Get your first three meals for free by going to blueapron.com/savage.
Hey, Dan. My girlfriend and I have been going out for about a year and change. And about 6 months in, she completely lost interest in sex. And I've heard people on your show that have lost interest in sex because they're stressed or because they're pregnant. And neither of us understand or know really why this happened, but it's kind of starting to get weird. It's starting to mess with my head and it's starting to mess with our relationship. So we've been talking about counseling and meditation and therapy, but it's causing some problems because we're not sure how big of a role I should take in this, or rather, I'm not sure how big of a role I can or want to take in this. Not because I don't want her to be happy, or because I don't love her, or because I don't want this to work, but because she wants me to look into methods that might limit my sex drive until she can get hers back. And I don't know that I want to do that. I like having a pretty high drive. I think it fits in with my personality. I think it makes me part of who I am, that I have high drives in a lot of ways. So I guess my question is, what can and should both of us do? What can and should she do in order to try and maybe reinvigorate our sex life? And what can and should I do in order to maybe be more patient and wait?
If your girlfriend wants a companion animal that she can castrate, she should get a dog or a cat or a gopher or a goldfish or something else. Methods that might limit your sex drive. There's only one method I'm aware of that limits someone's sex drive, and that is chemical castration, which has side effects. In addition to the castration part, which is the effect and not a side effect, and in my opinion, it is an unpleasant and unwanted one, at least in your case. There are some people who benefit from chemical castration, and of course, there are some people out there in the cutting community, the castration community, who might be angry at me for suggesting that castration is something someone might want to avoid. If that's your turn on and you want to do it, you go for it, but that is not the caller's turn on and not what he wants to do. And there are side effects to what your girlfriend is hinting at, if indeed she is hinting at chemical castration, which includes loss of bone density, cardiovascular disease, osteoporosis, and boobs. And I'm assuming you do not want to acquire boobs at this stage of life. Things got weird 6 months ago, and I think you've stuck in there quite long enough, and I think you are now free to go, and you are free to go with a clear conscience, because you are seeking a sex partner. You are looking for someone that you can have a romantic and sexual relationship with, someone who wants to be with you and wants to fuck you and enjoys sex and would like to be intimate with you in that way. And she clearly isn't that person. Who knows what her problem is, but she needs to go figure out what her problem is. And I have a theory about what her problem might be, because there are reasons why people lose interest in sex that do not have to do with stress or pregnancy or getting your PhD or new job, which I guess you could file both of those under stress. She could be one of those people who 6 months into a new relationship loses attraction to the person that she's with now. She may be one of those people. You should ask her if this has been a pattern over the course of her romantic life, over the course of her dating life. And if it indeed has been a pattern, at a certain point, she's got to accept that this is how her libido works and that she is not cut out for long-term commitments and she is not entitled to a castrated boyfriend. She is entitled perhaps to date casually, to have friends with benefits, to have an open relationship that allows her to have an intimate long-term connection and a romantic partnership that doesn't involve a strong sexual connection or component at all, while she seeks sex outside of the relationship with others that arouses her, whatever. She at a certain point has to adjust to who she is sexually, if indeed this is who she is sexually. You've been a good boyfriend. You've hung in there. The moment that you're allowed to pull the ripcord and leap the fuck out is the moment the person that you've hung in there with while they're struggling with low libido suggests that maybe you should get chemically castrated until they figure this the fuck out. No, you should get single until they figure this the fuck out. And then maybe you can hook the fuck back up once they've figured this the fuck out. But you do not have to cut off your balls, literally or chemically, to be a good boyfriend. You've been a good boyfriend. Time to go be somebody else's good boyfriend.
Hi, I'm 36. I live on the East Coast. I've been married to my wife for, 13, 14 years, something like that. We have a four-year-old daughter. My wife has, we haven't had sex in 4 years, and my wife has a serious health condition where her, she doesn't have a pituitary gland or adrenal glands anymore, so she's not capable of producing the hormones needed for desire or anything like that. And on top, the likelihood that we would ever have sex again is pretty low medically anyway. But we also kind of hate each other, but we can't, we're stuck. We can't do anything. We can't leave each other financially because of her health. There's nothing we can do. So I followed your advice and started having an extramarital affair, I guess, with a friend who they're poly and they're totally down, and it's a wonderful relationship. I'm sleeping with a man only, and it's wonderful, and it's given me the peace that I need to stay in this relationship and keep things sane and relatively healthy for me and for my daughter. However, I'm in a pretty emotionally abusive situation, and I don't want my daughter learning that it's okay to stay in this unfulfilled, hateful situation, but I obviously can't tell her that I'm getting my needs met elsewhere, and it's only because of my extramarital stuff that I'm able to deal with the marriage. And I know learning about parents' extramarital affairs, even when kids grow up, can be devastating. So what do you suggest I do to help my daughter learn about healthy relationships without totally destroying her worldview?
The reasons you cite for staying in a relationship that sounds toxic, you say you hate each other, is a house, financial entanglements, your wife's health problems, and co-parenting. There are lots of happily divorced people out there who are still co-parenting who could have cited the same reasons for staying. The intermingled finances, financial interdependence, one partner's health problems, and co-parenting. You can continue to co-parent after you get a divorce. Most people who have kids who get a divorce do exactly that. But if you absolutely positively cannot go, if your wife is really dependent on you because of her health problems and you want to stick it out for that reason and you're going to stay, then you need to broaden your conception of the kinds of healthy relationships that you can model for your daughter. I don't think you have to go to your daughter and say, just so you know, I'm happy and content and able to stay because I'm fucking these other two people over there. I think the relationship and the healthy relationship that you can model for your daughter is a healthy companionate relationship, which maybe is a place that you can get to with your wife. You say she has a medical problem, a condition that leaves her completely without desire. And one of the reasons probably you guys have been at each other's throats a lot is your sexual frustration and no sex for 4 years. And now you are not so sexually frustrated anymore because you're getting your needs met elsewhere. You're following my advice. You're doing what you need to do to stay married and stay sane. So see if you can't, with your wife, come to some sort of peace agreement. See if perhaps with your wife, maybe with a little bit of counseling, you guys can accept what your relationship is now, which is co-parenting and partners and economic interdependence and not a romantic connection, that you are in a companionate marriage. And maybe the hate will drain away if both of you aren't looking at the other and getting angry or frustrated about what you don't mean to each other by shifting your focus to what you do mean to each other and how you can value each other. And you can celebrate what it is that you actually have, which isn't yet, but could become a healthy, loving, companionate relationship, a marriage that's not about sex, a marriage that's about everything else that a marriage is often about. And that's what you model for your daughter. You model that as a healthy relationship, and those can be companionate marriages, can be exceedingly healthy, perfectly healthy relationships. There are a lot of really shitty, awful relationships out there where the two people in it are fucking all the time. And there are terrific, long-term, happy, healthy, functional relationships where the two people or more people in it never fuck. Which would you rather have? A high conflict, abusive, Big Little Lies style marriage with someone you have lots of sex with, but it's abusive and awful, or a marriage where there isn't sex, but it's loving, it's considerate, it's kind, it's compassionate, it's functional. Maybe you can work toward the latter, that kind of marriage. And then maybe later on, when your daughter's a little bit older, you can have the kind of honest relationship with your daughter where you can let her know about your other partners. You can let her know that you have had a wonderful and loving, companionate relationship with her other mom, but you've gotten your sexual needs met elsewhere. And that itself is also a healthy relationship model, potentially. So, diffuse the situation or get the fuck out of the situation if you can. But I think if you and your wife can, with the help of a counselor, set aside your anger and frustration about the sexless years and learn how to see what it is that you've got with each other that has value and focus on that instead, maybe you can hate each other a little less. Maybe you can remember why it is you loved each other enough in the first place to want to start a family together. Good luck. Audible has an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original shows, news, comedy, and more. Audiobooks are great to listen to when you're driving, on the subway or bus, doing chores around the house, or at the gym. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free 30-day trial. Just go to audible.com/savage and browse their unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. One audiobook you may want to consider is Listen Liberal, or Whatever Happened to the Party of the People by Thomas Frank, narrated by Thomas Frank. I am in the middle of reading Listen Liberal right now, and it is great. If you would prefer to have it read to you by Thomas Frank while you're at the gym or driving or going for walks or baking cookies, go to audible.com and try out their service and get the audiobook Listen Liberal for free. Once again, for a free 30-day trial, just go to audible.com/savage. That's audible.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I'm a queer lady in the Southeast, and I'm in a messy situation right now. I went to a massage therapist a few months ago, and I ended up getting molested at the therapist. The reason this is messy is because, yeah, I know how to deal with it. I'm not going to go see him again. I'm actually going to a therapy appointment about it, because now I'm just starting to deal with this. And the reason it's messy is because this therapist has actually kind of become a family friend. And he has been my mom is a client of him, and my brother's also been a client. And so we've gotten kind of close to this guy, and I've actually worked with him on different settings and such. So, and he was also supposed to be invited to my wedding, which is coming up in a few weeks. So I was keeping this under wraps for a few months. I needed to tell my mom because we needed to uninvite him from the wedding. And my mom is very upset about it. So she's upset that he's done this to me. And we're trying to figure out what to do about this. So I know that we're uninviting him from the wedding. But I also, my mom is trying to help me out because I don't feel like it's my job to talk to this guy, because it's sending me into panic when I think about it. So I don't really want to talk to him. So she's thinking about sending an email to him. And we're just wondering if you have any advice on how to break off these ties from this family friend and massage therapist.
First, I'm so sorry that you were assaulted in this way, and I'm glad you're getting the help that you need. I'm also glad you have the support that you deserve from your family. I'm glad your mother didn't side with your massage therapist in this dispute. I would also encourage you, if this is a licensed massage therapist, to file a fucking complaint and send a fucking letter to his employer about what happened, and to think about contacting a lawyer about what happened. As for the wedding, disinfucking-vite him. Tell him why you're disinfucking-viting him after you've talked to a lawyer and after you've sent letters to his employer and the licensing board. Tell him exactly why. I detect, you don't say this, but I detect that there's some element of wanting to disinvite him to the wedding and your mother wanting to no longer see him as a client without telling him why, without upsetting him, that you want to disentangle yourself somehow from this professional and now social relationship without hurting his feelings, without him realizing that he fucked up, that he's an asshole, that he sexually assaulted you, without holding him accountable or responsible, that you guys are deferring to this sexual predator's feelings in this circumstance, instead of just throwing it out there and laying it on the table and letting the chips fall where they may. It doesn't sound like you're afraid of this guy, afraid of him retaliating against you in any way. You're just afraid, I think, because of that whole zap that's put on women's heads to never be confrontational with men and to always take men's egos and feelings into consideration first and foremost and sublimating their own. You're just worried that he's going to be upset when he gets that disinvitation to the wedding. And he's going to be upset when he is cut out of your family's life, when he's no longer a family friend. Let him be upset. You're upset. You're in counseling. You're in therapy because of how upset you are about what he did to you. Don't worry about upsetting him back. Go the fuck ahead and upset him back. Go the fuck ahead and flip the damn table over by reporting him to the licensing agency, by informing his employer, by talking to a lawyer about whether you should sue for damages, at least to cover the expense of the counseling and therapy that you're going to need to help you get over what the fuck happened to you. What he did, not what the fuck happened to you. You weren't hit by lightning, by what he did to you. So, OVA up. Send the disinvitation and the reason for it. And let him know he is no longer a friend of your family's. What do you do when you want a snack, but all you can find is junk food and crap? You rely on your self-control to resist the temptation? No, please. You eat the junk food. You eat whatever's at hand and handy. That's why you need to start snacking healthy by having NatureBox handy and at hand. NatureBox makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you, created with high-quality ingredients that are free from artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel great about snacking again. My current favorite snack is the garlic plantains, and Nancy is a fan of the cheddar lentil loops. The millennials all seem to like the sweet things like the Greek yogurt pretzels and the animal cookies, but that is because they are children. NatureBox recently made their service even better. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel at any time. It's simple. Go to naturebox.com and check out their snack catalog. There are over 100 snacks to choose from, and they're constantly adding delicious new snacks. Choose the snacks that you want, and they will deliver them right to your door. With NatureBox, you'll never get bored. There are new snacks each month inspired by real customer feedback. And if you ever try a snack that you don't like, NatureBox will replace it for free. Free. And right now, NatureBox is offering you guys 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/savage. Support the Lovecast. Go to naturebox.com/savage for 50% off your first order. naturebox.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 30-year-old single heterosexual female who moved to Vancouver, British Columbia in January after fleeing the States and he who shall not be named. I'm a fairly recent Lovecast binger who's super sex positive and a strong, independent woman. Well, normally anyway. I've had a fuck buddy for maybe 6 years or more. We'll sometimes go as much as 2 years without seeing each other, though this past year we've seen each other every few months due to various weddings, travel plans, etc. We keep minimal, intermittent, but friendly communication in the time when we're not together. We don't live in the same cities, so it's been really easy to keep the fuck buddy boundaries pretty uncomplicated. Until now. He was in town this weekend for a friend's wedding, so a group of us all got together on the Friday night before, and as always happens when he and I are in the same room because of our undeniable chemistry, we're instantly all over each other. He stayed over at mine, and it was just like always, super fun, flirty, and sexy. We are friends, and we talk to each other about our dating lives, and we have very realistic expectations, or rather no expectations, from each other on that front, helped out by the fact that we live far apart. So the night of the wedding, I meet up with all of my friends afterwards because I wasn't invited. There were a bunch of friends from out of town that I was really excited to see, and of course I'm looking forward to being flirty and fun with my fuck buddy. But when I show up, he's flirting with another girl and his hands all over her body. They don't kiss, but it's very obvious they aren't talking about the weather. He says hi to me and knows I'm there, but he doesn't stop touching this girl and makes a pathetic effort via text, obviously recognizing that I seem a little upset, to tell me that he's just chatting with friends. Well, fucking shit, she's just his friend. I'm a little humiliated because I was excited to be there, and now I feel like a complete idiot in front of all of our friends who could see what was going on. They all agree that he's being a dick, but that doesn't help the real fucking hurt I'm feeling. The girl eventually leaves at the end of the night, and loser me lets him get away with all of this, and I let him stay over at mine and fuck me again. I gave him a hard time for making me feel shitty, but he wasn't super apologetic and kind of thought that as his fuck buddy, I didn't have the right to be upset. My argument is that an implied part of fuck buddies is a friendship behind it, and this didn't feel very friendly to me. Needless to say, I wasn't able to come that night, knowing this guy totally disrespected me. He's back at home in his city now, and we sent a few messages to each other, but I kind of feel like he's taken my communication as him getting a pass, and he's getting away with it. I'm, of course, really mad at myself for caving, but I just can't help but adore the shit out of this man, or boy, or whatever, against all of my better judgment. I'm sure if we're both single next time we're together, we'll fuck again. So my question is, am I being unreasonable as a fuck buddy by being really upset? Because because he fucked me on Friday and then touched this girl all over in front of me on Saturday. As I mentioned, it's not because of any hope for a potential relationship, but because as a friend, I felt completely affronted and dejected. Of course, sex complicates things, but in my mind, we've been blissfully uncomplicated until he just made it messy. Do I not have any right to that hurt that he caused me? I know I just need to let it go, and the next time I see him, it will be water under the bridge, but I can't get over how rude he was.
The problem isn't that he fucked you on Friday and was all over this girl on Saturday. The problem isn't that he touches other women or fucks other women. You know he touches other women and fucks other women, right?
Yes.
The problem was how inconsiderate he was. He humiliated you in front of mutual friends. That's the problem, and that he couldn't see that. Because what he was saying at that moment when his hands were all over this other girl, what he was broadcasting to the room that you were in with mutual friends was that you were the second choice. Of all the women in the room that he could be with, he wanted to be with this one, and you were his fallback. You were number two. You were the second choice. And that's hurtful. That's hurtful. That's humiliating.
Yes, it is.
And that's what he needs to apologize for. Not that he would have gotten with this girl that weekend too if he could have, because I think you understand in a fuck buddy relationship, that's allowed. Who knows? Maybe that girl that he was flirting with that he met at a wedding is the girl that he might have wound up dating and then marrying. Like, you know that you're not in it with him for the long haul. You know that marriage and that kind of commitment isn't in the cards for you two, right? And you're not pining for that, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay,
and that's fine.
So you know that eventually you will be, most likely, he'll wind up in a monogamous relationship with somebody else and you will be displaced. That's part of what you've signed up for. You're aware of that, right?
Yes.
So that's not the problem, that he was interested in some other woman. It was that he didn't have the sense, he didn't have the emotional IQ to look at what he was doing and going, even if that's the case, that I'm allowed to sleep with other women, that I do sleep with other women, that eventually I'm going to wind up in a committed relationship with someone else and then she and I are just going to be friends. Even knowing all that to be true, he didn't have the emotional IQ to go, but this is awkward. I'm making my friend with benefits, my friend, feel awkward and uncomfortable by making kind of transparent, you know, the fact that she's my second pick tonight and probably that was painful for her. And if he can't wrap his head around that, and what he did wrong wasn't that he wanted to fuck somebody else. What he did wrong was he was very inconsiderate of you and your feelings in that moment. And your feelings weren't, oh, you wish he would pick you and marry you. Your feelings were, this is humiliating.
It's
right?
Extremely humiliating.
And if he had been a little bit more discreet, if he had, you know, come up to you and said, I'm going to change phone numbers with this woman and I think we're going to run off to another bar for a while just so, you know, this isn't awkward. But how would you have felt? Well, actually, I should ask you how you would have felt about that. You know, if he had gone out of his way not to humiliate you by telegraphing to the room that, you know, between you and this woman, he'd rather fuck her tonight. But if he had, like, taken her outside or to some other bar and said, I'll circle back in a couple hours and we can meet back up, maybe. Would that have been less hurtful if only you knew that you were the second choice that night?
I mean, marginally less hurtful, but I mean, I guess I kind of thought there was an understanding for the weekend. And I misinterpreted that. But I do think it would have been less hurtful because it was right in front of me. Mm-hmm. And he knew that it was bothering me because he sent me that stupid text message.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could see that I was upset.
And he knew it was bothering you and he sent you that stupid text message and he didn't stop.
No. Oh, actually, it was really funny. When we left, so she left and then we were at the bar together and we were talking and I was giving her time and he was like, blah. And then, you know, kiss, made up, whatever. And then we leave the bar to get a cab back to my house. And she's standing outside.
Ah!
Waiting for a cab with her friends. I mean, he and I, we're not like holdy handy people. So it was like, you know, but then I had to be respectful to not do or say anything and let her leave first. Mm-hmm. And like, so as not to hurt her feelings. Cause like, that wouldn't be nice.
So you were being the change you want to see in this fuck boy. You were being,
yes,
you were being considerate of someone else's,
correct,
a complete stranger's feelings, in a way, your rival for the evening's feelings. You were able to be considerate.
I had to be. I didn't want her to feel like I was feeling.
Right. And you didn't want to humiliate her or make her feel bad. Or it sounds like also you didn't want to screw up his chances with her in the future.
Correct. I mean, they don't live in the same city as far as I'm aware. I'm
How
sure
considerate are you?
There,
How nice are you? So
I'm a walkover, obviously.
No, I'm not saying you're a walkover. I don't think that the solution to some people are dicks is all people be dicks. I think the solution when some people are dicks is that other people who are not being dicks draw their attention to non-dickish behavior, which they may not even be able to perceive. And you say to him, here's what I did that night. Here's how I went out of my way to take your feelings into consideration because I value our friendship. When we walked outside and she was there, I could have stuck my tongue down your throat. I could have pissed all over you and let her know that you're mine now. And that would have scotched any possibility of you getting with her in the future, you know, for sex or to date. I could have ruined that for you if I was an inconsiderate, selfish dick. But I'm not. And you know what? In the future, I would like you to be as considerate, unselfish, and undickish with me as I was with you.
So you think there could be a future? Not as in like a relationship future, but I could do this again.
Well, how good's the sex?
Pretty good.
All
right, not the
then.
Greatest, but it's good. It's good. I like it a lot. And I'm getting him, he's becoming more adventurous. I feel like whoever he's sleeping with in the meantime is not adventurous.
Most of the lines that I draw in the sand when it comes to things like this are pretty blurry. You know, you shouldn't have to put up with this, and this deal breaker, you should dump him, girl. Like, yeah, but you have to weigh that against what you're getting out of it. And for your own reasons, are you getting enough out of it that you're willing to, you know, hold him accountable for his actions that night, give him a scolding, ask him to apologize, and then keep fucking him? You're not rewarding him for the bad actions so long as you hold him accountable. And if he, you know, if he, somebody keeps making the same mistake, they keep treating you badly in the same way, then... then eventually you have to give them their walking papers.
I mean, I guess he's not a boyfriend, so it's not like I'm dealing with this all the time.
Not a boyfriend, but like you said, and I'm always telling this to people, it's a friendship. FWB.
Yeah.
Some people are like, we're not in a relationship, we're just friends with benefits. That's a relationship. And you have to be considerate of that person's feelings. The only relationship where you don't have to be considerate of some person's feelings is when it's a blow-up doll relationship.
Abuse the hell out of it.
Right, you can do whatever the fuck you want. And you don't have to take that thing's...
do they make feeling- those?
Yeah, they do, actually. And you don't have to take that thing's feelings into consideration because it doesn't have them. You want to fuck something where you don't have to take their feelings into consideration? Fuck a toaster. Good luck.
Thank you so much for calling.
My pleasure. And thank you for calling. Thank you for listening.
Absolutely. Listen all the time. All right, Dan. Have a good one.
You too. Bye. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, even me. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You get to choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or you can let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you by making the choices for you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored, and you can customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs, and there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Here are a couple of items on the menu coming up. Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice. Parmesan-crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli, which I had last night and was terrific. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/savage. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so do not wait. That's blueapron.com/savage. Blue Apron, a better way to cook and a way to cook that even I can cook.
Hey, Dan. I'm a gay guy in my early 30s living in a small town on the New England coast. Last summer, my best childhood friend moved back to this town we grew up in. We were pretty much best friends from the ages of like 5 to 18, and we only really drifted at 18 because we went to different colleges in different states, and then both lived all over the country in our 20s and never really crossed paths much. When we were kids, like middle school age, we fooled around with each other quite a bit. I should mention, he identifies as 100% straight and has said he has no interest in dating men. It was mostly innocent boys going through puberty, discovering themselves, that kind of thing. And we both just jerked off, though we did get into oral a little bit, and we tried fucking once, but neither of us had any idea what we were doing, so it didn't really happen. But we pretty much stopped that. That was kind of a growing phase, I guess, when we got to high school. No specific reason, and we've never talked about it. That is, not until last week. We were hanging out at happy hour, having a couple of beers, and he said, "So you remember that time your mom caught us jerking off when we were kids?" I mean, of course I remember. Getting caught with your dick in your hand by your mother at 13 is traumatizing, and doubly so if your friend's dick is in your other hand. So he went on to say, "If you ever wanted to fool around like that again, I'd be down." So that brings me to my conundrum. On the one hand, he is very conventionally handsome, straight out of a J. Crew catalog. He has a great body. Definitely not someone I'd mind being naked with. And it also is the fact that there just aren't many gay guys around here. So, like, I've been a monk since I moved back 2 years ago. I've basically had a little bit of fun with a couple of random people who were here as tourists, but, you know, nothing, certainly nothing meaningful and nothing consistent. So that'd be nice to have someone close by who I could, you know, have some fun with. On the other hand, most of my close, like, friends are straight guys, and I'm typically very good about avoiding having feelings develop. Once I find a guy is straight, he's in the friend zone. But I'm worried that adding a sexual dimension to our friendship might lead me to feel ways about him that he will never feel about me, and that instead of the fun, close friendship we currently have, at the very least things could get weird, and at worst, the friendship could end poorly. As I mentioned, we live in a small town, and our families are close, so there would be no avoiding each other if that happened. So, Dan, what do you think? Do I go for the fooling around, or do I keep the friendships strictly platonic?
You go for the fooling around and you live stream it, because I'd like to watch. As you were unpacking this, I wrote down, before you even got to it, I wrote down risk of catching feelings. That if he is straight, 100% straight, identified, and you are gay, you're running the risk of crushing out on your friend, of wishing that it could be more than it ever could possibly be. And your feelings may upset you, and that may upset him, or he may then distance himself from you in a way that's painful for you, and it could get awkward for you guys and your families. But that's a conversation that you can have with him. Like, what happens if I catch feelings for you? What happens if this gets more intimate than your comfortable with or capable of being with another man? And then he gets to opt in. And if you guys agree in advance that if things get emotionally awkward, that you're not going to duke it out, that you're not going to let it hit a toxic point, that you're not going to engage in recriminations or blow the friendship up — I'm not saying that recriminations and toxicity and blowing the friendship up aren't potential consequences — then I think it's less likely to come to pass, however, if you have, before you take his dick back into your hand, shaken hands with each other and agreed that if things get awkward, you're going to talk your way through it and remember the friendship. And if you have to take some time away for your feelings for him to diminish or whatever, you will, but you're not going to hate each other. If you agree in advance that you're not going to hate each other, you're less likely to, and you may then be more comfortable giving this guy the assist that he's looking for. Also wanted to say, I commend you for confining straight guys to the friend zone. I'm one of those gay guys who just doesn't understand why some gay guys are into straight guys. I like gayness in a dude, and I prefer a gay dude to a straight dude, and think gayness itself is attractive. And I don't find anything compelling or arousing about straightness. Like, oh, he doesn't want to have sex with men. That's so hot to have sex as a man with that man who doesn't want to have sex with men. I have a circuit breaker today. I don't see how that works or why that would be hot. But this guy isn't straight. Not 100% straight. Maybe you are the only exception. Maybe you're the one guy grandfathered in because of the kind of homosocial play that you two engaged in around puberty. Maybe you're the only one. Maybe you're the exception. And maybe he remembers those times fondly and thinks it could work again in kind of the same way. And what you're going to find out the first time you guys mess around is that it can't work now with you guys as adults the way it worked for you and him then as adolescents. And so it'll be one JO session and that's it. And you guys just have to power through the awkwardness after it. Or it's possible that your friend is heteroflexible or bisexual and doesn't quite understand how that works, doesn't understand that there are a lot of bi guys out there who are capable of being intimate and aroused by the thought of a little man-on-man action, but not into a relationship with men, not romantically attracted to men. And there are a lot of bi guys out there who think that that disqualifies them from being bi, because isn't bi supposed to mean that you're equally attracted to both genders or the whole gender spectrum and capable of falling in love with or having a relationship with someone of any gender all along that spectrum? And in practice, when you talk to bi people, there are a lot of bi people out there, bi-identified people, who are bisexual but heteroromantic, only attracted romantically in the relationship sense to an opposite sex partner, but down for sex and into sex and attracted to people of the same sex. That could be your friend. I think that's likelier than you are the one exception and he's willing to grandfather you in because you guys were messing around when you were 13. I think he's likelier to be a straight identified bisexual heteroromantic. And I think that you should go for it. And if I were in your shoes, I probably would. But I'm a sex pervert.
Hi, Dan. This is a 23-year-old male. I'm from San Francisco and I'm gay, obviously. Anyway, I have a boyfriend who is 29, and I also may have pointed out I'm a former child actor. You don't really know me, nothing big. I just did a few episodes on Cold Case, you know, like the Law and Order, CSI, those little type things. But my boyfriend, he really wants to get off watching me in these videos while we're having sex. I'm kind of freaked out about this. I don't know what to do. I think this is kind of suspicious. He seems to be kind of kinky type of thing. But I don't know. Is this like your campsite rule? I know that, of course, I'm over 18, but it seems like he always wants to date me and fuck me because I used to be a child actor. Maybe he was attracted to me as a child. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's creepy. And sounds like you think it's creepy too. I don't know what's going on between your boyfriend's ears. Is your boyfriend a pedophile? Does it arouse him to think about not just fucking the man you are now, but also the boy you were then? And that's part of the thrill of having the video on when he's in the room with you. That's something you're going to have to unpack with him. He's going to sense you're creeped out. And so if that's the case, he is likely to deny it. There are other scenarios that you could spin that he thinks it's kind of fun and arousing that you used to be this kid on TV that people looked at and now he gets to fuck the man you are now. And he's attracted to the man you are now, but there's this kind of perverse frisson, this buzz or pleasure that he takes in being the sex partner of somebody who used to be on TV when he was a kid, and that seems all kind of divine decadence, to quote Liza Minnelli in Cabaret. You'll have to draw that out of him, though, and you'll have to make your best assessment on whether or not you want to continue to see this guy, knowing what you know, if indeed you can know it, if indeed he will admit it, particularly if it is the former, the kind of into you when you were a kid and wishes he could fuck you when you were a kid. So you have a right to go to your boyfriend, who's asking you to do this kind of kinky thing that involves your childhood self, and ask him what is up with that and ask for an explanation that makes you comfortable enough with that to do it with and for him. If he's sexualizing the child that you were and that makes you uncomfortable, if that makes you feel like you are in bed with someone who wishes he was in bed with an 8-year-old instead of the 23 or 24-year-old that you are, I think you have a right to end this relationship. That would be kind of creepy, reaching libido killing, reaching relationship terminating event status, in my opinion.
Hi, Dan. I'm calling in response to episode 547 and your response to the woman who was concerned that her in-laws preferred their 12 cats to their children. I agree 100% with your answer. Grandparents may be that way and there's nothing you can do about it. However, there's one thing that I think the caller should consider. As people get older and they're more likely to have dementia or cognitive issues, one of the first symptoms is that they do retreat from their family and loved ones because they are experiencing memory problems. They are confused by everyday situations, such as navigating an airport, making a car reservation, even, you know, getting to the airport. So these types of excuses can come up that seem so ridiculous to family members, and it makes family members get angry, when in reality, it's because they are embarrassed or ashamed of their own declining abilities.
Hi, I just have a comment for the long-distance cousins. I just want to point out that him using other women's as beards is totally unacceptable and effed up, And I can't believe that he would be a person who would put other women through that and still somebody that she thought was a respectable, good person. So either they need to put a stop to that right away, or she needs to dump him because he sounds like kind of an asshole to me.
Hi, Dan Savage and the At Your Fat Risk Youth. This is the Pansexual Consent Workshopping House Cleaner. Thank you for airing my question. And also, I just wanted to give you a report back. I did not go back and clean the house. I did not leave a consent zine in the tub. It was not a tub full of sperm. All of those things are true. But I did send a text to both husband and wife and let them know that I felt uncomfortable cleaning their house because of the sperm I'd cleaned in their tub. And they both responded by text in a flurry of text for about 45 minutes with insults and defensiveness and really bad jokes and how I'm, as a house cleaner, people have sex in their homes, and even if there was sperm, that it's my job to clean it up, and other things like I was sad and pathetic. So I think I made the right choice, and I agree that it would have been passive-aggressive to leave the zine. Thanks for your airing of the message. It was very cathartic for me. Even though I lost some income, I'll pick up another great client instead.
Before we leave it there anywhere, I want to mention that I will be appearing at the Palace of Fine Arts Theater in San Francisco on September 15th, 2017 for a live taping of the Savage Lovecast. Starting April 25th, listeners can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com and on the Palace's website, www.palaceoffinearts.org. Using the promo code SAVAGE, these will go on sale to the general public on April 28th. Please join me in San Francisco on September 15th, 2017 for a fun live taping of the Lovecast. All right, we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz. 206-302-2064. Be sure to read Savage Love, my weekly syndicated sex advice column in Internazionale, a publication in Italy that I'm very proud to see my column running in Italian. You can also read it in English in newspapers all across North America. Follow me on Twitter at @FakeDanSavage. Follow Ben Steele on Twitter at @CuckoldExpert76. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech-savvy at-risk youth and Nancy. We will all be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast.